Hello and welcome to Crossing the 49th, the Cross-Border Tax and Financial Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Phil Hogan, and today we're going to talk about how to find a good cross-border tax account.
Welcome to the Cross-Border Tax and Financial Planning Podcast with Phil Hogan, where we discuss, demystify, and help break down cross-border issues. Now, here's your host, Phil Hogan.
Okay, just driving to the office today, thought it'd be a good idea to do a quick video on how to find a good cross-border tax account. I mean, we're in November right now, and of course, we're past tax season. We're past the October 15th deadline. And I sometimes get this question at this time of year, but I get this question a lot coming into the first part of the year every year. So I thought it'd be a good idea maybe to give some tips on how to find a good cross-border accountant, what to look out for, and kind of how to manage that that process. So the first thing I would likely say is, and this would apply to those that are thinking of, you know, finding a new cross-border accountant, if they've never had one, if they're moving to Canada, earlier the better. So and this be no different than, you know, often what we have to do when we might be hiring, you know, students for next year. You know, we'll do that a year ahead of time. So very important, as soon as you feel like you need the advisory services or you need to engage a cross-border professional, I would just do that as early as possible. So if you're moving to Canada and you know you're going to need help, first person you should be reaching out to, or one of the first people that you should be reaching out to, will be a cross-border accountant. You know, assuming you might be working with an immigration lawyer, you might be working with a real estate agent, you want to touch base with a cross-border account for sure. So earlier the better. The fall is an interesting time in that we're, you know, most of the tax professionals are actually done, you know, most of their tax returns, and a lot of us have corporate tax returns to do, but for the most part, all the personal tax returns are completed. So that's a good time to kind of get in the system for next year. If you try to get a cross-border accountant, or you try to engage a cross-border accountant in early in the year, what you might find is they have no capacity. There's no more capacity to actually take on new clients. They're ramping up for tax season, and they might shut down new client intakes until May or June, or even, you know, after June 15th deadline. The other challenge with that, as accountants get into, our tax accountants anyways, get into the summer months, they need to take a bunch of time off to kind of recharge. So that might be a tough time. So the fall is actually a really good time to try to engage an accountant, especially a cross-border accountant, even if you don't need any work done right away. So if you know you'll certainly need somebody for next year, finding somebody in the fall is a great way to start. So then how do you make that move? How do you start your search? Of course, you know, one of the easiest things to do, go on Google, search for a cross-border accountant in your area. So let's say you live on Vancouver Island. Cross-border account, Victoria, BC, you'll certainly find a good handful of cross-border firms. We have some really good cross-border firms on the island. So that's one way to reach out for sure. You might send an email. They might have an intake form. You want to be a little bit careful about phoning up and asking to, you know, interview an accountant to see if, you know, that's a good fit. I mean, that certainly can work. The reality is, you know, in this industry, there's a huge amount of demand for services and a pretty short supply of cross-border accounts. So that might be tough to try to do, you know, these interviews of accounts to see if there's a good fit. I mean, there's enough information available online through reviews to see if somebody has a good reputation online. You can always ask for referrals. That's going to be tough for a professional that is just, you know, relatively busy all year long. And that really has, I mean, that's nothing to do necessarily with cross-border accounts. I mean, the same could be said for contracts. I remember, I mean, this was during COVID. I remember during COVID, you know, I was, you know, looking for somebody to help fix our deck in the back. You know, we had a couple of people come over, a couple of people didn't come over when they said they were going to come over. And when we found somebody that we liked, I mean, I'm not going to push too much for referrals. I'm not going to push too much to, you know, ask about other jobs. I mean, he seemed relatively competent, but at that point I didn't have a lot of leverage in the situation because I can't necessarily do that level of deck repair myself. And I found somebody and we had to lock him in it was actually for the next summer. So, you know, at this point it's gonna be pretty tough to get especially cross-border accounts to kind of fight for your work, which can be tough for a lot of people to really, you know, understand, but that's just the environment that we live in. So that being said, when you do find somebody that you feel can help, that you like, I would kind of get them to get you in the system for next year. So, you know, let's rewind a little bit. So once you find that individual that you think has the competencies to help, I would try to get them to commit to having you as a client for next tax. Now, this is assuming that you don't need any tax work for that. You might be, you know, asking for, you know, some streamlined filings to get caught up. You might have some issues from prior years that you need fixed, and they can likely do that in the fall. But if you just need somebody for next tax season, really important to have them commit to get you into the system. And a good way of doing that is to just ask them for an engagement letter. So the way it works for accountants and lawyers and, you know, other professionals, they'll send you an engagement letter, which really just outlines your responsibilities, our responsibilities. And that way you can kind of get into the system. You become, you know, an actual client of the firm. You know, they'll set up, you know, a file for you at the office. And, you know, and the best cross-border accountants, I mean, they'll ask for things like, you know, prior year tax returns to get that in the system. They might take a look at it. And you might get lucky where somebody will sit down with you, either for a paid consult or just an introductory call if they have time to develop that relationship. And that's great if you can do that. But really getting in the system is a huge part of the game. Because once you're in there, then you're not scrambling around like a lot of taxpayers might be in January and February. Because this is what you find. You get into January, February, March, and the amount of emails that we receive from clients asking if somebody's taking on new clients is significant. And honestly, at that point, it's so crazy, it's so busy that most of us say no, just because the reason we say no is not because we don't want to help. Is just, it's really important that we provide really good service to our existing clients. Because if we just keep taking more and more clients through that busy time, we're probably not going to provide the best level of service for our existing clients. Now, some of them might actually, you know, for new clients, push you off into June or October, and that's perfectly fine if you both agree. So, you know, we might do that where if a client, especially if they're like, you know, for instance, you know, cross-border client that has somebody else filing their Canadian return and they don't have a lot of U.S. source income, they might kind of push them off into the June 15th or October 15th deadline if that works for the client. That way, kind of push these returns past April, because most people will be due, their Canadian return will be due in April. So that's definitely an option. But once again, the most important part is kind of getting there early. And then maybe we can talk a little bit about when you get to that point, when you get close to tax season, some tips I would give you to really try to maximize your time with this with the firm and reduce the amount of time you actually need to file the tax return. Because that can be really tricky. I mean, you get this question all the time, or you get these complaints often from clients. You know, I might get emails, you know, I dropped off my, and not our firm, but, you know, somebody's thinking of switching firms. You know, I dropped my stuff off in March and it's, you know, it's July and the tax returns are not done. Now, once again, that could be the accountant, that could be the client. It's really impossible to know without, you know, kind of diving deeper. But what I would say for the beginning of tax season, and honestly, that's January. You start receiving slips in January, you start receiving income slips, you start receiving, you know, donation slips, you start all the tax slips that you need for tax season, those start coming in January, you get some in February, and then the last ones will kind of dribble in March. So a couple tips here. Especially when you're starting with a new accountant, and you've been with an accountant for, you know, 5 to 10 years, you likely know what to expect, and that relationship's kind of defined, and you know how he or she works. But if you're working with somebody new, really, really important to follow their directions. So what will happen often is you'll have the firm reach out in early season, anywhere between, you know, you might have end of January to end of February with a tax checklist. So they'll send you, you know, a letter or a checklist saying, you know, introductory to into tax season. This is, you know, what we like to do. We'll send out kind of, you know, new changes, what's happening, anything really significant, especially from a cross-border perspective. And then we'll include our checklist. So it's very, very important. This is probably the biggest tip. Read everything your accountant sends you and follow that direction as closely as possible. And the reason that's important is because so much of the time on files, and the reason why tax returns tend to go long, is because of the back and forth. Like I always use the example, if a client was able to drop off 100% of what we asked for, or 100% of what they know they need to file, that tax return can get on somebody's desk, they can complete it and go through a review. You might have a couple follow-up questions with the client. That's the most efficient way, obviously, to file and prepare a tax return. If you're constantly having to go back and forth with clients to try to get information, and we all know what that's like. It's really hard to get that information, but a lot of the work up front can kind of mitigate those challenges. That back and forth time, you would be surprised at how much that adds up on the file. And I know, I mean, for the most part, most accounts are doing, you know, working on an hourly basis. And the reason that is important is because it seems to be the fairest way of billing clients. I have some clients that require, you know, very little, let's say, handholding back and forth with the tax return. They're very organized. They, you know, they'll get us exactly what they need. They follow the checklist to the T. They organize all their stuff and they get it to us. Their returns might be, you know, less expensive or would take less time to prepare than somebody that would require a little bit more help. And in either case, that's fine. But that is the most fair way in my experience to bill clients. If you need more time, then you get billed more. If you need less time, you get less. So we've experimented with other billing models, but this one seems to be the most fair to clients. So just know that back and forth can add up a lot. You know, 10 minutes here, 15 minutes here, especially at higher rates. You know, rates on the cross-border side tend to be higher than just general tax preparation rates, but that's just a factor of there's such a short supply of cross-border accounts, and it's really, really hard to staff up for this stuff. You know, that's a question I get, or kind of going down in the weeds here a little bit, but that's a question I get all the time, often from other accounts. You know, how do I learn cross-border tax? You know, a lot of people are intrigued to get into this space. It's almost next to impossible unless you really have a good firm with a good legacy of cross-border tax, some senior partners there with lots of experience, and a good team to be able to bounce questions off of. Because what can happen often, you can have this false sense of security that you're filing things properly, but that's because you're doing it on your own. So really tough to get good at this stuff unless you're in with a good team and with that team for a very long time. So yeah, so maybe to recap here a little bit, if you're looking for a cross-border accountant, and once again, I didn't mention this, but if you're looking for somebody, and you know, we can't always take clients. I mean, we're pretty much at capacity for, you know, most of the year, unfortunately. But if you need some assistance, always, you know, feel free, Phil at philhogan.com. I always do my best to try to find a home for people, regardless whether you need a consult, whether you need tax preparation, you need to catch up on your returns, you need to fix past due returns. We have a really good network of cross-border accounts in not only in BC, but across Canada. So if you need help at all, Phil at philhogan.com. I'll do my best to help. But in terms of recap, if you need somebody for next year, early. The earlier you can try to find somebody, the better, for sure. And once you find somebody, make sure that you get an engagement letter for them so that you can actually get into the system. And then once you get into the system and once you get around to next tax year, and you know, I'm going to try to do some other videos about how to actually get through that process, because I think that would be helpful. We get lots of questions about that. But once you get into tax season, very important that you follow what the accountant or tax professional is asking. Complete their checklist as best you can. Spend the time. I guarantee you, spending an extra hour or two on the checklist or what they're asking you to provide will save a ton of time on the back end, especially when they're getting close to completing the returns. Get them that last piece of information that they're requesting, and then when the tax returns are done and you need to sign everything, make sure when they send you, and because don't forget, as much as we love talking to our clients, it's the best. The problem is when you get to the end of tax season, you have hundreds and hundreds of emails and tax returns to get through. We would love to sit down with everybody to go through the last final items on the tax returns, but it's just simply not possible. We just won't get them all done. And that's just a factor of most tax returns having to get done by April 30th. I love this stat, but I tell this stat, I think we get like 50% of our returns done in the last 2 weeks of April, which is an insane crunch, but it's just a factor of the deadlines. So when you get to that point at the end, just try to do your best to follow the direction. Often you'll get an email from, you know, the admin staff, or, you know, tax returns are ready, you'll need to sign, you know, various forms. Just follow those directions as best as possible, because once your returns are signed and filed, you're done for the year, and you don't have to worry about tax returns in May, in June, in July. And that honestly, that's probably the biggest tip. The earlier you can get in, get your information in and follow those directions and get out, the earlier you can just be past taxes. Nobody wants to be worrying about taxes or your information that you have to get to your account and then in June, July, August, and get to the October 15th deadline. Just get it in there and get it done. Your accountant wants it done as well. So, you know, the incentive for everybody is to get the returns in, prepare as accurately as possible, and out, because there's thousands of returns to do. So I hope that was helpful. A little bit behind the kind of curtain there with CPA tax firms, or cross-border tax firms at least. Any questions about this, please drop a comment. I would love to answer any questions you have. Any questions you have that you don't want to leave a comment for, phil@philhogan.com. Thanks for listening. We'll see you on the next one.